Our scripture reading this morning comes from the New Testament, from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 18, verse 9 through 17. Now, if you see the title in the Bible, it says, "The Story of the Taxman and the Pharisee." It's amazing in scripture. And it must have been very horrible in the first century after Christ, while Jerusalem and the surrounding areas were all under Roman conquest. So the Romans levied taxes, heavy taxes, and it all was exported, not spent in the country, but exported back to Rome for other conquests. So they used willing Jews to become IRS agents in those days. And first of all, that was traitorous, to offer yourself to serve for the Romans. And what's more, they got big commissions on the taxes that they brought in. So whenever there's a bad guy in the New Testament, you can be sure he was a publican. He was an I said publican, not Republican. and an IRS agent. That was the focus of their hatred, those people in those days. And so we can understand the sentiment, the feeling behind this passage. Luke 18, verse 9. He told his next story to some who were complacently pleased with themselves over their moral performance and looked down their noses at the common people. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a taxman. The Pharisee posed and prayed like this: "O God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, crooks, adulterers, or, heaven forbid, like this taxman. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income." Meanwhile, the taxman, slumped in the shadows, his face in his hands, not daring to look up, said, "God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner." Jesus commented, "This taxman, not the other, went home made right with God." If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. I love this. The New Translation. If you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to end up flat on your face. But if you're content to be simply yourself, you will become more than yourself. People brought babies to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they shooed them off. And Jesus called them back, "Let these children alone. Don't get between them and me. These children are the kingdom's pride and joy. Mark this, unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, you'll never get in." Here ends our scripture reading. We read this morning with the prayer that we would sense God's spirit and God's presence in and behind our scripture reading. My friends, the Methodist Church had a founder by the name of John Wesley. And we're proud that we have some of that heritage in ourselves, in our Protestant churches. He was quite a person, John Wesley. Not only founded the Methodist Church, but his influence spread far and wide. And such a humble person, one would never expect it. But there was one particular person who disliked him terribly. He just couldn't stand John Wesley, and he said so. So one day, John Wesley was walking along a narrow path, and lo and behold, the man who disliked him so much came from the other side. And the man was quick on his high horse, and he said to Wesley, "I never step aside for a fool." Wesley replied, "Well, I always do." And he stepped aside. Who will ever forget how boastful and arrogant Muhammad Ali was during his boxing days? You can scarcely believe it if you see him nowadays, timid, changed. But in those days, he was quite a guy. We lived in another country, and I can assure you across the world, he was known for his arrogance. So it happened that one day he was about to take off on an airplane flight, and then the flight attendant came to remind him to fasten his seatbelt. And that didn't sit well with the great Muhammad Ali, so he came back brashly. "Superman don't need a seatbelt." So the stewardess said, Superman don't need an airplane either. And they say that Ali immediately fastened his belt. Now Jesus is telling us a delightful story of two people arriving at church for a prayer meeting. And these two persons were different in many ways. And in the jargon of 2,000 years ago, one was a Pharisee, a church guy, well respected, very religious, and he was indeed setting a good example to everyone. Well, the other one, as I earlier explained, was a despised tax collector for the Romans. So in the eyes of many, he was nothing but a traitor and a thief. Now, in this story, I call it a delightful story of Jesus because it is so picturesque. If you study it, it is as if you were there. You can just imagine how it happened. Now, the one of them marched into church, and almost like a bride. Well, it's my privilege, it was Dr. Sponsor's privilege to do here, and other ministers here this morning to see. We often see a beautiful bride coming down the aisle, and then it is so beautiful, you just say, wow, she's at the height of her beauty. And I think that's why they make her come in, so that people can see the beautiful bride. Well, the Pharisee was no bride, I can assure you that. But the way that he walked in was similar. He came all the way from the back, and he marched all the way to the front, and he was clad in a colorful robe. And once when he reached a point where everybody could see and hear him, he prayed out loud, "Oh God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, crooks, adulterers, or heaven forbid like this tax man. I fast twice a week and tithe on all my income." And one would say, why tell that to God that knows everything already? Why come to church if you just want to impress others with how great and how mighty and how high you are? Wouldn't it be a better idea to focus on why am I here? And this man was not a bad man. He certainly was not, and his claims were true. Those were the things that he did, and he was respected by everyone. But somehow he misunderstood in the story of Jesus what it means to appear in the presence of God. And in contrast, we see the tax man, and we can almost see the picture. Slumped in the shadows, no desire to be seen by others. His face maybe in his hands. Jesus says he didn't dare to look up. And I think only those who were very close to him could hear his whisper, God, give mercy. Forgive me, a sinner. It's now centuries later. Nothing has changed. We no longer think of Pharisees and tax people in the same way. But somehow these two people represent people that we know. Nobody ever walked in here to brag about their good things. But we just know it fits the mold. There are people who are so full of themselves that there is no obvious need for God and there is no room for God in their lives. And when they do happen to pray, they just there to remind God how perfect and how good and how they think they are. Still in our time. And then there are also people like the taxman. And we know some of them too. They will never tell you their virtues, but you do discover it as you live with them, as you get to know them. Pride and humility are the signs also of our times, and they still live side by side, often in the same house, the same school, the same church, the same community. Now, in the story of Jesus, the tax collector has something that the Pharisee didn't have, and he needed it badly. I was trying to think, how can I phrase that? The best I could come up with was the gift of inadequacy. Because in the story of Jesus is the fact that he realized that he was inadequate in the presence of God really became the fact that opened God's presence to him and made him aware where he was and why. He had that gift. And many people that I know and love and respect have that same gift. When you speak with them, you cannot believe how humble and how honest they are, except when it comes to bragging. They have a gift. But they are the people that you enjoy talking to and wondering what they have to say. People who have this gift realize their incompleteness and also sense when they are in God's presence, as we always are. It's just that we're more aware when we're in church. God's forgiveness. Oh God, I need it. Could be that someone walked into the sanctuary this morning with that deep, deep unrest inside. I need to be there. I need to be part of that service. I need to be ready to sit at the table of the Lord. So Jesus really tells us here that inadequacy is a necessary prelude to grace. And if you are seeking God's amazing grace, you first need the gift of inadequacy. And without such a sense of inadequacy, the Pharisee's prayer was nothing but empty words, bragging, we would say, but filled with a sincere sense of unworthiness, the poor publican's sinner's plea for mercy echoed its way right to the heart of God. And before he knew it, he was immersed in the presence of God. The Pharisee was a good, outstanding citizen. He was the type of person that we are proud to have as part of our community and our church. He enjoyed the work he did, and he was thanking God that he was able to perform his duties. That's fine. However, he just didn't get it. With all his qualities, he never understood what religion, what faith was all about. Something went badly wrong, and in spite of all his good deeds, he never sensed the company of God. He never felt the Spirit moving in his life, because it was all him and an absent God. If he thought he could win God's favor by his accomplishments, he had to discover that the opposite was happening. He was alienating himself not only from God but from others with his proud attitude. He was so full of himself that there was no place, there was no need for God left. He failed to realize that you and I draw closer to God and to others when we begin to sense that we are not so perfect after all. When we begin to admit our shortcomings, and when we begin to mention to one another that we need God's grace more than maybe ever before. Without a true relationship with God, our lives remain incomplete. Apostle Paul reminds us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in 1 John we find the verse, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Understanding our inadequacy is a prelude to grace. There is truth in the saying, there is so much good in the worst of us and so much bad in the best of us that it ill behoves any of us to find fault with the rest of us. Some people put on their holier-than-thou expressions and let people think they have it all together. And you know what's the result? When we are like that, many people who are looking at the church critically but also wantingly conclude it's a bunch of super saints. And it makes them feel, I don't belong there. I'm not that good. I'm not that holy. Others just turn away from us. And we hear it more and more. Christians, because people have an image of how many Christians behave. And in the process, we fail to be ambassadors for God. We fail to reach others for God. I think it's time that we look around this very morning at ourselves and that we admit, I have a vantage point. I'm standing a bit higher. I cannot see anybody with a harp. No halos. No halos. Nowhere. Sets of wings? None. The church is a wellness center where people come to get well and stay strong when they become aware of the presence of powerful God, our God. And once when we sense, once when we are immersed in God's presence, then we can go out and back again, strengthened, stronger than before we came in. Remembering A church is a wellness center, a spiritual wellness center. It is never, ever a museum for saints. Do we have God's gift of inadequacy? Or did we make our way to church this morning in search of wholeness, inner peace and joy that passes all understanding? I had a nostalgic moment this morning while Kivada's people were singing, because I was reminded by the tune that the evening when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that's what they sang. I can hear my Savior calling. Isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that why we come to church? Isn't that why we reach to the tokens of forgiveness and love of bread and wine? Rather than trumpeting our accomplishments, we may embrace this golden moment to tell God about our needs and to receive God's peace. Real praying comes from deep within and exposes our soul and our being before God. And that's when we echo with the publican, "Here I am, God. Give mercy." And if you are ready to do that, hear the invitation. Come to the table. There's grace, there's forgiveness, there's mercy, prepared by Jesus Christ for you and me. Amen.